Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Who is your favorite superhero? Let me hear it. Jesus. Yes, yes, of course, right, right. But except for Jesus. Oh, Dorothy Morton is pointing to her husband. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so special. I was going to give extra credit if someone said you, Pastor Stan. But anyway, mine is the Incredible Hulk. Anybody like the Hulk? Okay, and I'm not talking about the modern day Marvel Hulk. I'm talking about the real Hulk, right? Anybody know Lou Ferrigno? The real Hulk. And you can't convince me that he's not real. Okay, but that was the original Hulk and everything, and he'd say, don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry, I love that, and I used to tell my kids that all the time. Anyway, our world loves superheroes. We've got Superman and Batman and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, and we just love the superheroes and the movies and everything, and then we also make superheroes out of sports stars, right? Those are some of our biggest heroes. Any Collingwood fans in the house today? Too soon? You needed a hero yesterday to step up, didn't you? And it just didn't happen. But anyway, you know, I can say that because I gave up months ago with the Bombers. But anyway, we like people who step up and do courageous stuff. But what about in just normal day-to-day life? In your homes, in your families, in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods. What do you do when someone needs to step up into a space and take care of something that's not right? Today, we're launching a brand new series called Ordinary Heroes. Not superheroes, but ordinary heroes. Because God doesn't just use the perfect, the polished, the powerful people. He uses ordinary people who trust him and turns them into heroes. We're going to be looking at a few of those in the Old Testament book of Judges. And as we unpack a few of those characters over the next few weeks, if you miss any of the messages or you're inspired by them or you just want to watch that bumper over and over and over again, go to our YouTube channel, go to our app, and then share that with all your friends so they can get blessed by it as well. But in the book of Judges, it is written right after the time of Joshua. All right, you remember Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Joshua took over when Moses died. Well, now Joshua dies. And we have the book of Judges. Because Israel's now wondering, hey, Joshua's dead. Who's going to lead us? Who's going to help keep us on track? And they desperately needed somebody to keep them on track. Because Israel kept going through a cycle, and it was an annoying cycle, and it went something like this. They would be hanging out and be okay, and then all of a sudden they would rebel against God. They would start worshiping other gods, things like that, and that would cause them a problem. That would cause them to go into a state of ruin, meaning that God would use other countries, other nations, to take them over, to oppress them, and make them their slaves. So sin led to slavery for them, okay? So they rebelled, and they were in ruin, and then they decided it wasn't so cool being slaves. Life was kind of hard, so they would repent. They would say, God, hey, we messed up. We're sorry. Please help us. And they were, the real emphasis was please help us, all right, and all that. So they would repent, and then God would come to the rescue. He would send someone to deliver them. He would raise up a judge. That's what the book of Judges is all about, to rescue them. And then they would enter a place of rest, and they would have peace for a minute. And then, you know what they would do again? Then they would rebel and ruin, and it would go on and on and on and on again. And they couldn't break that cycle. Unfortunately, that cycle looks a little bit familiar. I don't know about you. But in my own life, I find myself, oh, man, why am I here again? God, please help, you know. because we don't can't seem to get it. And I think this illustrates the difference for us between religious reformation and spiritual revival or spiritual transformation. Because religious reformation temporarily changes our outward conduct. We stop doing the bad stuff for a minute. But spiritual revival permanently alters our inward character. It changes us completely. So that's the context that the book of Judges is set out in. It is set out in one of Israel's darkest times of history. And in chapter 21 of the book of Judges, at the very end, it says this, and this sums it up. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Does that sound like fun? Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. That is moral chaos. And by God's grace, he regularly would send in deliverers. He would send in people to rescue them from themselves and to bring them back. The people that he would send in to rescue, though, they weren't superheroes wearing capes. It wasn't the Incredible Hulk hulking out because he got angry. These were ordinary, flawed people, fearful people, people who trusted an extraordinary God. Today, our first ordinary hero is someone surprising. It would have been shocking for Israel when he raised up this person. It's a woman named Deborah. So let's dive in. Judges chapter 4 says, after Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. Okay, we see the cycle starting again, right? They're rebelling, doing evil. So the Lord turned them over to King Jabin of Hazor. Okay, he turned them over. Now they're in ruin again. A Canaanite king, the commander of his army was Sisera. Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time. So here we go. Israel is in trouble again because of their sin. They've been oppressed for 20 years at this stage. And it's been going on and on. A whole generation has grown up in fear. And then this guy, King Jabin, had a commander, Sisera, who had the 900 iron chariots. Think modern-day tanks. 900 of them. He's going to run over anybody and anything that gets in his way. And then the people are crying out. They're like, hey, God, do you see what's happening to us, your people? We're pretty cool. We're pretty special. And do you see what's happening here? And they might have said, oh, and by the way, we're sorry. Please help us. They were calling out, not asking forgiveness for their sin, but to get relief from their suffering. That's what they wanted. They didn't want a cleansing. They wanted comfort. That's where Israel was here. God answers their cry by raising up somebody very unexpected, a woman named Deborah. She's called a prophetess and a judge. And listen to how she describes herself, and we'll also get some context for what was going on and how bad it was in Israel. It says, people avoided the main roads, and travelers stayed on winding pathways. There were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. When Israel chose new gods, war erupted at the city gates, yet not a shield or spear could be seen among 40,000 warriors in Israel. Deborah was called a prophetess and a judge, and she called herself the mother of Israel. Her heart for her nation was like the mother's heart for their children. She wasn't a warrior. She wasn't a general. She's not who you would expect. But what we know about Deborah is that she is someone who was willing. She was willing. And that's what ordinary heroes do. Ordinary heroes step up when others sit down. When nobody else is doing anything about the problem, ordinary heroes just simply step up. She was described as a prophet and a judge. Think back when in Exodus, when Jethro, who was Moses' father-in-law, told Moses one day, he said, hey, you're going to burn yourself out. You're frustrating all the people. You need to assign some other people to judge the smaller cases. Think about that. That's who Deborah was. People would bring their disputes to her, and she would answer them. Interestingly, she is the only one in the whole book of Judges who it actually says was judging anything. She's also the only female judge in the book of Judges. And not only that, but she's a prophetess. There's only a few female prophetesses in the Old Testament. We've got a woman called Miriam, Huldah, and Anna. Now, this is massive. We don't understand it in our society, but in their society, it was very patriarchal. And for God to raise up a woman to lead the nation would have been humiliating for that nation. In fact, Isaiah the prophet spoke into this culture that was a male-dominated society. He said this, "As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them." He was saying that not as a positive thing. He was saying that as a negative thing, that they were now subject to women and children ruling over them. What this does for us is it challenges cultural assumptions, both then and now, about who God is willing to use, who God wants to use. And it shows us that God's choice of leaders is not limited by culture, by gender, or by human expectation. In Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of it all, verse 27, it says that God created people in his image. Both male and female, he created them. And then the prophet Joel prophesied this. He said, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy." Sons and daughters. And in Acts chapter 2, we see that actually fulfilled when the Holy Spirit came and the church was launched. Women were called, empowered, and sent. Can I suggest to you today, as strongly as I can, that God is still raising up women to lead. He's raising up women to lead in our families, in business, in mission, and even in the church. And friends, we should celebrate, not sideline, the gifts God has given to women. Thank you. You know, when I love our church because our church has got a great perspective on this, and we do our best to empower women. Historically, though, in the church worldwide, there's a whole lot of time to make up for where women have been pushed down and suppressed. But when I look around our place, I am so excited because we empower women. Pastor Deanna right away, and she's actually my favorite woman leader in the place. And for those that don't know, she's my wife, so I bet she better be my favorite. She does a fantastic job in this place. Things that you don't even see, but then some things you do see. We've got Fatai, who, just clap, yeah. You know, she's an insanely talented musician. But you know, she's leading a team of about 80 or 90 creatives. You know that? And you know how hard creatives are to lead? Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah, good job, girl. And right now, while we're in here, a lady named Melanie is over in the kids' men's space teaching your kids and leading leaders to bring your kids to faith in Jesus and help them grow their faith. Yesterday, Karen Gearing, who's the leader of the Bridge Ministries, was training up coaches. And she had Anne-Marie, her assistant, there beside her, training up coaches to mentor people in our community. I don't know what we would do without the women in this place. We've got women on our eldership. We've got a woman on our church council. And I am so thankful because, not because they're women, but because they are gifted by God and they do a great job. Thanks for listening. I had to get that off my chest. When others sit down, ordinary heroes step up. When others step down, ordinary heroes step up. When others shrink back, God calls ordinary heroes to step up. Deborah could have said, wow, man, that's not my gig. That's not my job. I can't be bothered. Somebody else needs to do something about it. Go back to the Nehemiah message if you forgot about that. But Deborah said, no, I'm going to trade comfort for courage. You know, some of us are waiting for someone to do something so often. But could it possibly be that God is saying, I've put you here for such a time as this. And it's time for you to be that person that steps up when others are shrinking back. Leadership isn't about a title. It's about taking on responsibility. It's about being willing to make a difference, to have influence. So whether you are a man or you're a woman or you're a student or you're a retiree, if God has gifted you, which he has, and he's stirring in you to lead something, to do something, to step up, just do it. Do it. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. We're going to look at somebody that did hesitate. She called to Barak. This is Deborah. Says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Okay, so Deborah's hearing from God, and now she's going to tell Barak, hey, this is what God says. So a woman is telling this man that God said something. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him. Barak told her, I'll go, but only if you go with me. Very well, she replied, I will go with you. But you will receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. So Barak, he is a military leader. He is the warrior guy that we would think should have stepped up originally. But he hesitates because, honestly, and I'm going to sympathize with Barak, the odds are against him. This is not going to work out, humanly speaking. He is going to lose, all right, humanly speaking. He knows what God said, but he's afraid. And notice, he doesn't refuse. He just needs to be reassured. He just needs some confidence. And I don't know about you, but I think Barak is somebody that we can probably relate to. Maybe even a little more than Deborah, who just stepped up. You know, we want to follow God. We want to do what God's asking us to do. But we sometimes need somebody to stand with us. Can you relate to that? He's not faithless. He's just human. And we can relate to that. See, Deborah, I love the way she responded. She didn't shame him. She didn't say, Barak, you sorry excuse for a man. Get off your backside and do something. Nobody would do that, would they? Women, right? No. She said, all right, I'll go with you. I'll be a part of this. But you do need to understand, though, and she prophesied something we're going to catch up to in a few minutes, that, hey, but you're not going to get honored for this because the death of Sisera is going to be at the hands of a woman. The victory is going to be in the hands of a woman. She became a catalyst for courage for Barak. Her courage activated his courage. That's what ordinary leaders do, or ordinary heroes do. They speak faith when others freeze. She spoke encouragement to him. Deborah was a voice of faith. Her presence emboldened and empowered Barak to exercise his faith and to obey God's call. She's not the one holding the sword, but she's the one that is calling people to action here. That's what real leadership looks like, is when you're calling the best out of others. You're calling courage out of other people. Hebrews chapter 11. For those of you that are church people, you may be familiar with it. We call it the Hall of Faith. If you're not, it's like a Hall of Fame. If you're not a church person, it's like a Hall of Fame for people of faith. And in that hall, you've got people like Abraham and Jacob and so, but you've got a guy called Barak. And we know, we just heard that Barak is in the hall of faith because Deborah pushed him forward. But he made the hall of faith. Isn't that amazing? Because he went when she said go. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Courage is contagious. When you speak faith into someone, when you affirm someone, you are empowering them. You may be unleashing their obedience to God and to following God. That's what Barak did, or Deborah did for Barak. Have you ever had someone really, truly believe in you? And they let you know that. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a parent. Somebody in your life that just believed in you and said, hey, you got this. You can do this. In my early days of hanging out with young people in church, I was in youth ministry as a volunteer. And I was loving it. I was enjoying it. And then there was this couple that was about 10 or 15 years older than me, had lived a little bit more life than I had at that point. And they came to me and they said, Stan, you need to be thinking about ministry as a vocation, not just as a volunteer, because we see something in you. And I was like, yeah, whatever. There's another guy around the same time in my life. His name was Mike. And Mike constantly kept asking me, why are you not in Bible college? God has gifted you, and there's something about you that God wants to use. You need to do this. They spoke faith into me. They saw something in me I didn't see in myself. I thought I'm just hanging out with kids and having fun, teenagers and having fun, doing, you know, youth kind of stuff. But they saw something else and affirmed that in me, gave me the courage to step out. When I was working with SIM out here in Australia, we restructured the whole organization, and there was a key leadership position in all of that. And Pastor Deanna went and told the bosses that Stan is the person for that job. I'm like, what? She spoke that into me. When the opening came here, when the previous pastor resigned, I said, no, I'm not putting my name forward or anything. But I told God, I said, if you want that, I can't say no, but somebody else is going to have to do that. That week, four other people approached me and said, let us put your name in to be the lead pastor there. I was like, well, I told God I would, but yeah. Several months later, during that process, Pastor Deanna told me, that place needs you more than what you're doing right now. And that got me across the line. People speaking encouragement and faith into us when they believe in us. So, so powerful. You know, your words could keep somebody from quitting. Your words could keep somebody from disobeying God even. Who in your life needs you to speak faith and courage over them? Is it a teenager who's being really dumb doing teenage things? Because that's what teenagers do. But you see something inside them that is beyond that, that is 10 years out, and you say, wow, God's going to use that person. If they're willing, tell them. Is it maybe a friend who's afraid to step into a calling because they're afraid that things won't work out, that maybe God won't come through? Do they need you to speak into that? Is it a spouse that needs your encouragement rather than your criticism? Is that your situation? Your courage might be the spark that activates someone else's obedience. That's what Deborah did for Barak. Let's move on. Then Deborah said to Barak, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you. So on that day, Israel saw God defeat Jabin, the Canaanite king. Notice Deborah doesn't say, get ready because you're strong enough and you're going to do this. You're going to take the hill. She says, no, get ready because God's about to give you the victory. That would have given him the confidence to step up. All he had to do was get ready. Some translations say, take your position. You know, that's a pattern in the Old Testament. It happens over and over again. In this instance, they remember those chariots, those 900 iron chariots? God used creation. He used a storm to come along and actually bog the chariots down in mud so they couldn't go anywhere. The biggest thing Israel was afraid of was the very thing that God used to stop the enemy. God went before them. We need to sometimes, after we get ready, we take our positions, we need to stand firm and then watch God come through. That's what Barak did there. He stood up, he got ready, and then God just did the thing there. It's a pattern. When Moses was with Israel at the Red Sea, they're looking at the ocean, they're looking at the mountains, they're looking at the army behind them that's coming to kill them. And God said, stand still and watch the Lord deliver you today. Stand still. God said to Jehoshaphat, he was a king, and he told Jehoshaphat this. He says, take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Sometimes following God into these tough places means standing still. But we're standing, we're there, we've stepped up, and then stand still and watch God do it. Faith is active, it's not passive. And there's a tension here for our faith. The tension of faith is this: we act, but God is the one who wins the battle. That's the tension. Because too often we think it depends on us, we think it's all about us, and we've got to do it. No, sometimes we just have to step into it and then watch God do the work. Israel's role was to show up, to trust, to obey. God's role was to do the delivering. Some of us are waiting for God to move while God is waiting for us to step up. He's wanting to move. He's ready to move, but he's waiting for us to step into that space. Maybe today you need to make a phone call. Maybe you need to start a conversation. Maybe you need to take that first step and then watch God do what only he can do. I want you to go back and read on your own time. Chapter 4 of Judges, verse 17 to 22. You see an amazing account there, and if you're doing the quiet time tool, you've already read this. But Barak leads 10,000 people, an army, into battle, and God throws Sisera's army into confusion. I just told you about that. But the job wasn't finished because Sisera was still alive, and that's where we get introduced to another ordinary hero. This ordinary hero is called Jael. Another woman, she was a housewife with a tent peg. So she's not a soldier, she's not a prophet, she's not a warrior, but God used her to have the courage to finish the job. Sometimes ordinary heroes seize the moment that God gives them. We need to seize the moment God gives us. See, Sisera ran to this woman named Jael's tent. He thought she was a safe place. And he said, hey, I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. Give me some water. Well, she gave him milk. She gave him more than he asked for. And he got really comfortable and he went to sleep to take a nap. And this chick grabbed a tent peg and drove it through his skull, right? And by the way, we got a disclaimer on the movie posters. This is PG. Just read the book of Judges. You'll know it's PG, all right? So that actually happened. It was gruesome. It's horrible to think about that. But God uses the least likely person and sometimes the least likely ways to accomplish his purposes. She was an unlikely hero. She wasn't out on the battlefield, but God had placed her exactly where she needed to be. She didn't have weapons. She didn't have swords or guns or tanks or anything. She had a tent peg and a hammer. And you know what's beautiful here? I don't know if you remember. Remember what Deborah told Barak? Who's going to get the honor for this? A woman. Because God's going to give the victory through a woman. Prophecy fulfilled here. What Deborah told Barak came true through Jael. God used a prophetess under a tree. He used a reluctant commander with an army and a housewife with a hammer. What we learn from this is that victory is not about human power, it's about divine partnership. God used all three of these people. And when they won, I love this. It's a beautiful song in chapter 5 of Judges. Deborah and Barak did this. It says, Deborah and Barak sang this song. I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. I think it had a better tune than what I just did there. But chapter 5 is a victory song. And until just recently, it was the oldest song from Israel that we had. This year, they've found a new one. But the song, the beautiful thing, it wasn't about Deborah. It wasn't about Barak, and it wasn't about jail. It's about God, because victory belongs to the Lord. So ordinary heroes, when they get the victory, do this. They sing loud and give God the glory, because it was all about him. She doesn't take the credit. Deborah doesn't take the credit. This is a consistent theme through all of Scripture. The book of Psalms, chapter 20, says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And then in chapter 115, David writing says, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. See, ordinary heroes, real heroes, they don't point to themselves. They point to God. Real heroes don't say, hey, is Pastor Stan your superhero? They point to God, because God gives the victory. So when God answers a prayer in your life, when God provides for your needs, when God rescues you from something that you thought was impossible, don't keep it to yourself. Tell the story. Share it, because it might inspire someone else. That's why we do the baptism, record the baptism testimonies, because somebody else's story might inspire somebody else to take a step of faith. Your story might be the thing that gives someone else the faith they need to trust God in their daily battle. Deborah stepped up. Barak followed through. Jael drove a nail. Three very different people. God used them all. But the consistent theme through it all was God. It's one extraordinary God, three different people. They all had a role to play. Their story shows us what ordinary heroes do. Ordinary heroes, recapping, step up when others sit down, speaks faith when others freeze, stand firm and watch God come through, seize the moment that God gives you, and sing loud when he gives the victory. That's what courage, that's what faith looks like, and that's what God can do through you. So Deborah's message to Barak is the same message that God has for you and I today. Get ready. The Lord is marching ahead of you. Get ready. Take your position. You know what that tells us? This is a beautiful thing, is that we don't have to fight for victory. We get to fight from victory. God is in front of us. He's already got the victory. He just says, hey, come with me. I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to let you be a part of it. It's not dependent on us. Think about this. Israel's greatest fear this day was Sisera's 900 chariots. God turned them into floating coffins. What is your Sisera? What are the chariots that you're afraid of? Is it a diagnosis, maybe? Is it a broken relationship? Is it a financial burden? Is it raising a toddler? Hard stuff. Maybe it's a step of obedience you've been afraid to take, but you know you need to. Jael didn't wait for someone else to finish the battle. She grabbed what was available to her, what God had placed in her hand, and used it to bring victory. Sometimes courage looks like taking the hill like Barak did. Sometimes courage looks like quietly doing the hard thing like Jael did. But either way, victory comes when ordinary people partner with an extraordinary God. So this week, can I challenge you? Get ready. Take your position. That's the only step I want you to take today, is to be willing to get ready to say, yes, I'm going to take my position so I can see what God's going to do. If God's calling you to lead something, step up. If God's calling you to speak faith or courage into somebody else's life, open your mouth. If God's calling you to take a step, start the conversation. Make the phone call. Confess the sin. Sign up. Whatever it is God's putting on your heart. And then watch God do what only He can do. That's what ordinary heroes do. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit challenging, but it's not that hard. It's really not that hard. If you're ready to take your position, just like God told Jehoshaphat, like God told Moses, stand still, like he said to Barak, get ready. If you're willing to do that today, I want to ask you to demonstrate that just by standing up. Just stand up right where you're at. If you're willing to say, you know what, I'll stand up, I'll step up. For whatever it is God's going to want to do here, I'll step up right now. This isn't hard. It's just simple. Not asking you to go to Africa. God can if He wants. But just to say, I'm going to take my position. And then watch what God does. I'm going to take that first step. Because it looks like this. This is what I hope your prayer will be. Your declaration. I take my position. I trust my God. I will see victory. That's that simple. Now, maybe you didn't stand up because you thought, oh no, what am I getting myself into here? That's all. Just want this to be your heart, to be your prayer. I take my position. I trust my God, and I will see victory. Is that on your heart? I'm going to ask you if you're standing and you believe that. I want you to say that after me, one line at a time. Okay, you just say it after I say it. I take my position. I trust my God. I will see victory. All right, that was good practice. That was good practice. We're going to do it one more time. And if you're sitting there and you know you should be standing, you could say it even sitting there. I take my position. I trust my God. I will see victory. Father, thank you for this account that we have in this old book where we see three very different people step up in very different ways to be used by you, to say yes to you. And Lord, I want to thank you for all the people that are standing up right now who decided, hey, I will take my position. I will trust my God and I will see His victory. Lord, I pray that over them, that that will be true. Lord, I pray as they take their position today, you make it clear whatever that position is, what it even means. Lord, because it's different for everybody. Lord, you've called people, you've equipped people, you've gifted people. And I pray, Lord, that they would be using what you've given them. Lord, I pray that someday, that today some people you're calling to step up and it's very specific and they know what it is, that they would take the step. Lord, I pray that if there's people that you are calling to speak faith into someone, they would open their mouth and not be afraid of offending or hurting, but to say, hey, you got this, and empower somebody else. Lord, I pray if that's someone that needs that you would provide that you would send that faith speaker along to them. And Lord, if there's jails out here who think that they don't have that much to offer, they're not warriors, they don't have tools that are going to win battles, but Lord, I pray that they would see the tent peg that you've given them, whatever it is, and that they would use that for you. God, thank you for giving the victory. Thank you for the victories that you've already won, that you're just inviting us to follow you in. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we take steps to partner with you, and that we would see you change not only our community, but our world. But Lord, start by changing us, empowering us, emboldening us to take steps of faith and to be ordinary heroes, partnering with an extraordinary, amazing, miraculous, miracle-working God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.